morning from Hebrews 13, 7 through 17. I want to lift for my text for you this morning one verse, verse 14. And I'm going to read that verse in your hearing, Hebrews 13 and verse number 14. Here's what it says. For here have we no continuing city, but seek one to come. I'll read that again. For here we have no continuing city, but seek one to come. Now this letter, the letter to the Hebrews, contains a number of what we call warning passages. Warning passages. And some people have wrongly concluded that these warning passages mean that you can be saved and then lose your salvation. And then you can get saved again and lose it again, and you're more confused than a termite in a yo-yo, and you hope you die on the right day so you go to heaven. That is not salvation. Some of these Jewish professing believers, they profess to believe in Christ as their Savior, and they even came to church and got baptized, some of them, but they lack genuine faith. They fail to continue to worship and serve the Lord, the heavenly high priest. Instead, they went back to their old earthly temple, and they had a dead high priesthood, and they came and they went back to their families that had rejected them and their friends, and they said, oh, we're back to our old religion. We left that Christian faith. And they failed to depend upon the blood of Jesus that was sprinkled in the heavenly temple after Jesus died on the cross. He put his blood up there. And they stopped coming to the invisible Lord, risen high priest who's in heaven. He can't see him. He's up in heaven. And they went to the visible high priest with his long robes and the offering of animal sacrifices. And they said, oh, we're not going to be in that weird cult anymore, that faith in Jesus anymore. We're coming back to Judaism. And so the warnings here in the book of Hebrews are not for those of you who are truly saved. They're not about losing your salvation, but rather they're about those of you that might turn away from your fake profession of faith because you don't really have a real faith in Jesus, a heavenly faith. And so you're not really united to Jesus. Because the Bible says if you were, true faith in Christ says you overcome the world and you're not overcome by the world and entangled therein again. You know, sometimes people claim to be saved, they claim to know the Lord and have their sins forgiven through faith in Jesus, but they've never really had true faith and they've never been united to Christ, and so it doesn't make a difference in their life. Here's what it says in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, for if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By the way, that's just a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. They are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, then after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The sow that was washed. Has anybody ever seen a dog throw up and then eat it? How many have seen that? Yeah. That's what he's talking about. Dog throws up and eats. I remember seeing that as a kid many times. I'd be like, that's gross. And a sow, you can wash a big pig. You know what a big pig is, right? Big pig. My grandmother was a secretary in a Baptist church. And she said a guy called up with a southern accent wanting to talk. And he goes to the secretary answered. And he goes, can I please speak to the chief hog of the trough? She said, sir, who are you referring to? I hope you're not referring to our beloved pastor. And he said, yeah, I'd like to talk to the chief hog of the trough. She said, sir, that's no way to talk about our pastor. He said, well, I have a $100,000 donation to make to the church, and I want to give it. She goes, oh, I see the big fat pig now. But you know, my grandmother used to tell me that, you know, she was the secretary. She's the one that led me to the Lord. But you know, the Bible says that's the way it is when a person gets washed outwardly. By that I mean they get baptized, you know. Holy water. You ever go into a church, they say, I want the holy water. You know? Well, if you get baptized and you've never been born again by the Spirit of God, you're just a wet sinner. You haven't really been changed. And you could go to Christian school. It doesn't change you. You can get on the bus and go to church, and all you're going to do is see problems all the time, because you don't really have faith in the Lord. You're just looking at problems. And no, I'm saying that is worse when a person comes to church, gets in a Christian school, and then they leave it and turn away from the Lord, turn away from the church, turn away from the Bible. Why? Because they never really had it in their heart. It was just in their head. And that's what is being talked about here. So it says, therefore, let me read our text this morning. Here's what it says. For here have we, that is we who are really born again, no continuing city, but we seek one to come. You see, you may live in Scranton. How many live in Scranton in the city limits? Okay, a lot of you. You may live in Clark Summit, South Abington. How many live in the Abingtons? Okay, some of you. And you may live in Wilkes-Barre. Anybody live in Wilkes-Barre? Yeah, some of you. And you may live in Oliphant. Anybody live in Oliphant? Oh, look at a lot of you. Anybody live in Carbondale? All right, Carbondale. We have a lot of people from Oliphant here. Amen, in Carbondale. Now, that is your city. Listen up over there. That is your city. You live there, yep, you live there, but listen to me, I live in South Abington Township, but that's not my main city. I'm just passing through South Abington Township. I have a pastorate in Scranton, but I'm just passing through. It says here, we, those that are really saved, have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We seek a city to come. And so the question is, have you had a change of address? Have you had a address in the New Jerusalem? Because here's what it says, that the New Jerusalem is a city that is about 1,380 miles long. That's about from here to West Palm Beach, Florida. That's from New York City to Denver, Colorado. And it's like a cube, and in that cube you have one golden street made of pure gold that goes throughout the whole city. In the middle of the city is the temple of God, where the Father is on the throne. Jesus is at his right hand. Seven spirits of God are represented burning before the throne. There are cherubim and seraphim, and they're singing praises to God up there all the time in the center of that city. It's a city where it doesn't get bitter cold like it does right now. And it doesn't get too hot, because the S-O-N makes sure the temperature is just right. There's no night there. You don't need to sleep there. There's no porno there. There's no junk there. No drinking of alcohol there. And no nightlife there, because there is no night there. No partying and all the rest of it, you see. Where is your city? I've had a change of address, and when you get saved, you have a new city. I like what Billy Graham said. He said, when you hear Billy Graham is dead, don't believe it. I've just changed address. I'm up there in the heavenly city. How about you? I am looking forward to that city. There's a book called Pilgrim's Progress, and in Pilgrim's Progress, the guy who is the guy named Pilgrim, he began to cry and weep, and he was upset because he told his family, I've been reading in this book, and we are in a city that's going to be destroyed. Do you know Scranton is going to be destroyed? Wilkes-Barre is going to be destroyed. Carbondale is going to be destroyed. You say, well, what are you talking about? How are all these cities going to be destroyed? They're going to be destroyed by fire from heaven. It's called the day of the Lord. God is angry. And right now you're moving closer to the... And if, listen to me, if you are a citizen only of this city and of this world, you will be destroyed in that fire. And if you die before it happens, you'll go to hellfire anyway and be destroyed in fire forever and ever and ever. And so it's very important that you're not like these Hebrews who claim to believe in Jesus, went to church some, but turned their back on it because they really were not born again and they didn't really have a home in heaven. Their real home was upon this earth. All of those from Adam and Eve all the way up to the present day that have had faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior, if they have passed away, they have been taken by angels up to that heavenly city. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 24. I'll read it. Here's what it says. But ye, that's you plural, are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Firstborn is Jesus, firstborn from the dead, which are written in heaven. And you're come to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of just men made perfect. That's people that their bodies are not risen, but they're in the heavenly city. They're spirits. And you've come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. See, in the Old Testament, they had animal sacrifices. They couldn't take away sin. They only covered people's sin until Jesus could pay for that sin. And he says, you've come to that blood. So what are you guys going back to the old priest? What are you going back to the old mass? What are you going back to the old sacrifices, you know? Some people go back to a priest. They go back to the mass. Every time the priest rings that bell and that supposedly the wine is turned into the blood of Jesus and you drink it. Well, you're not supposed to drink blood, so that's crazy. I drink the blood of Jesus, not physically, but spiritually. He cleanses me. And that blood is now in heaven, in the heavenly city, right on the mercy seat, in the temple of God, in the center of the city. And that blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. In other words, the blood of Jesus says, forgive and cleanse everyone that has put their faith in Jesus Christ. That blood takes care of your sin. Have you been washed in the blood? Have you been freed from condemnation and hell by the blood? Oh, if you have, then you have a home in heaven. It's waiting for you. It's a mansion. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And he talked about mansions in the heavenly city. Oh, what a blessing that is, where there's no night and no cold and it's all beautiful, no sickness, no coughing, no death. In the book of Hebrews, the writer warns that some of the early church people in Jerusalem, they were going to stop attending church services. They were going to go back to their old animal sacrifices, their old dead religion with the priest and all the rest of that. And some of these professing believers in the Lord were going to abandon their profession of faith in the finished sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They were going to stop witnessing about Christ, and they were going to go back to that old dead religion. You know what? That happens. We have kids sometimes, they go to Christian school as long as their parents send them, but when they get old enough to make their own decision, they say, I'm leaving, I'm going back to some dead religion, I'm just going back to no church at all. I'm going to go back and to live a life of fornication like so many people are doing today, having physical marriage relations without being married. That's fornication. And the Bible says, people that do that and live like that, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. They're not going to heaven. They don't have the Holy Spirit living in them. And they don't have an address and a mansion in the holy city. I got that cough too. But up there, you ain't going to have it, amen? It's all going to be good. Listen, I am so glad that you can't lose your salvation, but it's possible that you never got it, that you never trusted the Lord, and you have a head faith, and it's not going to get you into the heavenly city. And so this morning, I want to look at the tale of two cities and how they tell you the truth about yourself. The tale of two cities and how they tell on you. It says in Hebrews 13:14, for here have we no continuing city, but seek one to come. And I want to say two things about that. Number one, because your reluctance to leave your old city tells on you. Your reluctance to leave your old city tells on you. The Bible tells that Old Testament believers were looking forward to a better heavenly city. Even Abraham, many thousands of years ago, about 4,000 years ago, the Bible says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, we have Brother Elgin Gano. He's a builder, and he's building a ladies' bathroom, extended ladies' bathroom. And it's looking good. It's making progress. And Brother Joe's an architect, and he drew this up. And Elgin's a builder, and he's doing it. Well, you see, God is the architect, God the Father. He's the architect. Jesus is the builder. He said, I go to prepare the place, the city, for you. And he goes to prepare a mansion in the midst of the city for you. It's going to be just the kind of mansion that we would like, in a wonderful place that is so much better than heaven. But most people are not going to heaven. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says, broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many there be that go their way. Narrow is the road that leads to life. Few there be that find it. You see, you have to be born again to get into that city. Have you been born again? Well, you were born from your dad and mom. They got together and had you. And you're just a normal, natural person. But no, when you're born again, you have a supernatural new nature that loves the Word of God. You love God. You love to pray to him. You love to walk with him and talk with him. You love to serve him. And you love God, and you love people because of God. And so the tale of two cities tells on you. And if you're reluctant to leave your old city and get something so much better, and you're not looking forward to something so much better, then guess what? You are earthly, sensual, and devilish. You still have your home in Scranton or in Wilkes-Barre or in Carbondale or in Oliphant or wherever your city is. That's where you are. And from that city, wherever you are, when you die, you will not pass go. You will not collect $200. You will not go into heaven. You will not live with Jesus. Because really, you're not interested in the things of heaven. I remember as a kid, a pastor was preaching, I wasn't born again. And he said, if you went to heaven, like C.S. Lewis said, the blades of grass there would cut you. You wouldn't like heaven. You wouldn't be at home in heaven. See, if you're not at home with God, with the Bible, and with church, and with all the, you're not going to be at home in heaven. No, if you're more at home with things of this world than you are of heaven, I'd be careful. I'd beware this morning. The tale of two cities tells on you, because some of you may be reluctant to leave your old city. Not Abraham. It said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It says of Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it said this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers on the earth. They didn't see Christ come and be born, but they believed he was coming. They believed the promises of God, and they saw them. Do you see the heavenly city by faith? Do you see something better in heaven by faith? Are you embracing the things of God to your heart and to your life? And are you confessing that to others? Are you confessing, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through, my treasures, my real wealth is laid up somewhere beyond the blue? Are you doing that? And by the way, if you rob God of tithes and offerings, I wonder about you. Where is your city if you're clinging to the money of this world? Like Achan, hiding it under his tent until God had to kill him to get it out? No, when you're saved and you know you have streets paved with gold, you don't mind melting down your silver and helping us buses run, giving your gold so God's work can go forward. But if you're clinging to it, you're reluctant to leave your old city, that tells something about your life. And this morning, I want to warn you that heaven is only for those that have been born from above. They have a new birth. Have you really trusted the Lord Jesus to save you from the eternal damnation of this world? You know, Jesus said that he said that this world is not where we're going to wind up. This world is going to be judged, and we can't stay here forever. We're either going to go to heaven or hell. Are you looking forward and preparing to go to heaven? And have you trusted the Lord Jesus? Or are you still depending upon something in your religion, something that you're doing in order to get into heaven? And, you know, people think, oh, man, I'm not going to die. I'm going to be able to live. I'm going to be able to stay around here a while. I've got certain things. Listen, there are people in hell right now, and they're suffering, and you could be there right now. You're no better than they are. The only thing that keeps you out of hell is God's keeping your heart beating. He's keeping your lungs breathing. You could die in a moment. There are 1,000 ways to die. I heard of that show, 1,000 ways to die. God has so many ways that he could take us out of this world. And the only thing that keeps us out of burning in hell, if we're not born again, if our life is in this world, is God's mercy. God is giving you another Sunday. But people think in their mind, oh, I'm better than those people in hell. I'm alive. I'm all right. I'm not going to die like that guy in the funeral. I'm not. Yes, you are. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. And so it's so important that you believe the promises of God. You see them. And the Bible says here that these people not only saw them and they were looking at them. The Bible said Moses, when he went in the wilderness and he gave up the kingship of Egypt and he gave up the riches of Egypt, what kept Moses going? He had true faith. It says he endured as what? Seeing him who's invisible. Do you see Jesus? I lived my life until high school, and I didn't see Jesus. I saw Christians, I saw church, but I wasn't really interested. I didn't see Jesus until I got saved. Now, I've never seen him physically, but I see him spiritually, and I have my eyes on Jesus. He keeps me going. He keeps me going. I was at Walmart the other day. Tom, you were there. I ran into Tom, and Tom was pushing a cart, and I knew what he was doing. He was shopping for people, trying to get them saved. I was doing the same thing, praying and shopping for people. You say, what's got you doing that? I saw Jesus by faith. It changed everything. But some of you, you just see the things around you. That's what you're focused on. And you think it's going to last, and it's not. It is all so very temporary. And the Bible says that if you're reluctant to leave this world, it tells on you. But if you're persuaded of the promises of God, that is important. The Bible says that they're persuaded about the promises of the heavenly city. And it says in Webster's 1828 dictionary, persuaded means to convince by argument or reasonable or reasons. What are good reasons? The Bible and the promises of the Word of God. What must I do to be saved? You should ask yourself that question, because most people are damned. Most people are condemned. What must I do to be saved? You need to see Jesus and be persuaded to trust Him. Have you in the past, or are you even now, embracing the promises about dwelling with the Lord in the future city? And has that persuasion led you to confess, to say what God said about heaven, and to say what God says about hell, and to say what God says if you're born again, that I'm just passing through. My home is not really here. I can tell you my grandma's in heaven, and I'm passing through, and I'm going to see Grand Mabel one day. I'm going to see Jesus one day. I'm going to see my loved ones one day. Are you persuaded of that? Paul said, I know whom I have believed in and am what? Persuaded that he is able, not me, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him, Jesus Christ, against that day or until that day. Have you committed the salvation of your life to Jesus Christ? And do you embrace the promises, and are you looking forward to it? That's what God says. But listen, if you're reluctant to leave this world, you are telling something about yourself. I think about Lot's wife. She didn't really see with her spiritual eyes the promises of God and that her husband believed in. She was not really persuaded concerning that heavenly city that her relative Abraham believed in. She didn't really embrace these promises to live in a better city than the city where she lived. She lived with her husband and family in the city of Sodom. She raised children there where fornication and homosexuality and the world was cool and the party life was cool. And she had a husband that believed the promises of God and was grieved with what was going on, even though he compromised. He was grieved with it. He hated it. And you see, she stayed in that city. She didn't really confess Christ to her daughters or her adult daughters or her sons. No, they got married and went their own way. And and she loved, no doubt, her children and grandchildren in that city. But there came a day and God said, just like it's going to happen here, I'm going to destroy this city by fire. And you need to get out of this city or you are going to be destroyed in fire. And the Bible says that that's going to happen to Scranton and Wilkes-Barre and all the cities in America. There's coming a day, and we're getting closer to it. It's called the day of the Lord's wrath. It's when the Lord comes back and he begins to pour out judgments from heaven upon this world that will be like the flood, even greater. It will be fiery judgment, and people will die one after the other. And only if you're saved by Jesus will you escape. It says, God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But if you're not saved, Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. You say, what's the problem with Lot's wife? Well, the angels of God came to rapture Lot out of the city of Sodom on the day it was going to be burned. And Lot tried to convince his adult sons and daughters who were married and had families, oh, come on, you got to get out of here today. And they were like, yeah, you're crazy. You're crazy. Now, Lot's wife, she went with him, and she started to follow him out of the city of Sodom. But as Lot went ahead of her, she kept looking back at Sodom. You see, she was reluctant to leave. She thought of her children, her grandchildren that were adults that lived there in that city. And she said, I can't stay with my husband. I just don't want to go. I don't want to go. I don't want to leave that. And Lot went ahead, you see. And the fire began to fall. And she was touched by it and turned into a pillar of salt. I'm just saying, she didn't get far enough away because she wasn't really born again. Her husband was, but she wasn't. And the Bible says there are people that the wife will go up with the angels to heaven before the fire of God falls, and the husband will stay back. He's not really born again. Or the husband will go up and the wife will stay back, like Lot's wife, not really born again. And so, just reluctant to leave this world, and will be judged and burned with this world when Jesus comes back. Maybe it's a brother or sister. The brother goes, the sister doesn't go. A friend with a friend, the friend goes, but the other friend doesn't go. The Bible says there's going to be that separation at the end. And remember Lot's wife. Are you reluctant? A tale of two cities tells the truth about you because of your reluctance to leave your old life, your old city. Here's what it says in Hebrews 11:15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. You want me to tell you something? If you don't have a new nature implanted in you by Jesus because you've really been born again by faith in Jesus, you'll more and more look back to this world and be attracted by this world and be stuck in this world and in the sins of this world. And you'll leave the things of God behind and you'll go back. If you go back, you're in a bad place. If I were you, I would right now determine I am going to embrace the promises of being saved. Don't wait, do it today. Don't wait, do it right now. Because your reluctance to do that tells the truth on you, that you're really in the old city and you don't have a place in the new city, and your name isn't going to be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But I want to say a second thing, because your reliance to live in your future city also tells on you. I mentioned my Grand Mabel, who was a pastor's secretary. She led me to the Lord. She didn't even know it, but she was talking about how to be saved in Jesus. And I was listening to her as a teenage boy, and I believed, and I got saved. I got born again. And my grandma If you go to her grave in Muskegon, Michigan, now where I got saved, I've been there, it has on the grave, "Until Then," written, "Until Then." "Until Then" is a song written by Stuart Hamlin. How many have heard of Stuart Hamlin? Probably not many of you, but some of you. Stuart Hamlin was saved in about 1948 in a Billy Graham crusade in California. He was a country western singer, but he got saved and he started writing Christian music, and he wrote a song. It's in our hymn book, "Until Then." Brother Eric led us to sing it the other day. And what it's saying is, "My eyes shall behold the city, the heavenly city. My eyes shall behold." He said, but until that day that I see that heavenly city, until then, I'm going to carry on. Until then, I'm going to do what I need to do here. But it's until then, I am looking forward to that heavenly city. And my grandmother, she talked to me about it. And when she talked to me about it, guess what? I started seeing this world is going to burn, and I'm going to burn, and I'm going to go to hell. What will it profit if I get everything in the world and I just wanted what this world had to offer as a young teenage boy, 17? And what will it profit me if I get everything this world has to offer? And then I die and I'm in hell and I can't get a drink of water for all eternity. I'm crying out, oh, just for relief. There's no relief. By the way, that's true of you. You're not a cat or a dog. You're going to live forever. And if you're in hell, there's no hope. Most people are going to hell. Did you hear me? But they just party on. Just party on. Or just work on. Or just live on. I remember when my gram told me that and I got saved. I went out of her house in Muskegon, Michigan, 3303 Thompson Avenue. I can see it in my mind's eye. And I saw the backyard. It overlooked Lake Michigan just down the road. Everything looked different to me. Everything, it was kind of wonderful because I knew I had a heavenly inheritance in the heavenly city. I knew that I was going to heaven. And it made everything different in this world. Wouldn't that be great if you knew that? If you don't know that, every day you live is just one day closer to destruction. I think of young Timothy, who Paul preached and he believed, and Paul said, "The faith that's in your mother and in your grandmother is in you." I was in my office last night. My mother is somebody that has faith in the Lord, just like her mother had faith in the Lord. And my mother, as she often does on Saturday, she kind of scratches on the door. I'm in the office. She wanted to come in. With her walker, pushed her walker in. And she said, "I'll be praying for you tomorrow. I'll be praying for you." A lot of times she can't get up in the morning. "I'll be praying for you." And then she said, until then. Christian Rodriguez is here, has that faith. His mother has that faith. It's going to be great to be reunited with our loved ones. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. But those that cling to this world and are reluctant to leave, like Lot's wife, she's still suffering. She almost got out. She was close to Lot. But she never touched by faith Lot's Savior. Sad. Wouldn't that be sad for you today if you come here and you're close, but close only counts in horseshoes? It doesn't get you in. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." No, it's not almost. That will not get you in. Lot's wife was almost, but she still had this world. Some of you, you still have this world because you've not been born again. you need to be born again. And if you have been, let's embrace it. Let's get closer to it. Let's not backslide so that we begin to doubt our salvation and so that we begin to not see these promises clearly. Don't live like that. Don't put a question mark if you're born again. Let it be clear. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed. We've been talking about the tale of two cities.